Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, a tense and somber Eid.
Unfortunately, none of us will celebrate, and it's, you know, it's the ongoing war. It's the ongoing war around us.
6 months into Israel's assault on Gaza, how do the hungry mark Eid al-Fitr? I'm Natasha Del Toro, and this is The Take. Eid al-Fitr marks the end of Ramadan, the month of fasting. Muslims around the world traditionally celebrate with feasts, prayer, and charity. We spoke to Al Jazeera's journalist, Maram Homaid, in Gaza to experience Eid there through her eyes. And it all starts with food.
People in Eid used to prepare fasikh, which is the salted fish. They used to cook sumaqiyya. It's a traditional Ghazawi dish cooked with sumaq, tahiniyya, hummus, meat. And it's served during the occasions like Eid and weddings. And they prepare cookies with dates, traditional kaak. People would buy new clothes, decorate their homes. They clean it and decorate it, you know, with the happiest decorations welcoming the Eid. They would go out, visit their families and do the family gatherings.
It's painful for Maram to remember what Eid looked like a year ago. Even in the background throughout her interview, you can hear a buzzing sound. That's from the Israeli drones flying around the clock in the skies of Gaza.
You know, Gaza would be like buzzing and bustling with joy and activity during, you know, such days. It's really touching to see this, to see the silence in Gaza, and to see how our life has been transformed into such a miserable life, having everything destroyed around us, having like all of us lost our homes, and we're just, you know, no longer able to celebrate or having the appetite to do anything.
Last December, the Israeli military destroyed Maram's home along with her belongings. Now, she's displaced with her family in Deir el-Balah, in the central part of the Gaza Strip.
The Eid, there are no preparations or plans for Eid in Gaza. For me, it's just a new day, marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan. This Eid, unfortunately, we're losing the real meaning of Eid, the celebrations of Eid, the preparations of Eid. How can we celebrate under the non-stop bombing, under the drones that buzzing over our heads? How can we celebrate while seeing those displaced in tents? How can we celebrate even we are not in our homes? We are in a relative's home. We are just around 25 people in a one-room apartment. No privacy, no sense of warmth. Every one of us is just suffering and just fed up of this war. So I found it, you know, weird to be asked about the Eid preparations.
This year, there's no food to prepare. As Israel's siege on Gaza continues, the entire population is facing catastrophic levels of hunger, according to a UN-backed report.
Aid organizations accuse Israel of slowing the delivery of humanitarian relief supplies. The UN has described the situation in Gaza as man-made starvation and warned of famine.
There were talks about famine hitting across the Gaza Strip, especially the north of Gaza, with because of not allowing aid trucks into the Gaza city. And here in the south, I daily encounter families who suffer from hunger and who cannot afford, you know, for food and to buy the basic needs. People are just unable to secure more of the food for their families.
that includes the Abu Shaban family. During Ramadan of last year, Maram did a story with them. They prepared a molochia feast and ate it at sunset on their rooftop. Molochia is a thick, earthy stew made with the leaves of the jute mallow plant. It's a popular dish during festivities in Palestine. This year, Siham Abu Shaban, a mother of three children, struggles to find food for her family. They're now in a displacement camp in Az-Zawaida, near Deir el-Balah. Maram and Siham are now friends.
We developed a strong bond since that day. And with the chaos after the war, she came to my mind and I contacted her. And it was, struggling to call her with the telecommunication crisis hitting the Gaza Strip. It took me 2 days in order to reach out to her. Siham told me that she wouldn't prepare anything. She's not feeling well. Her family is not feeling well as well. Also, her parents are in the same, stance, just like other people living in displacement. And also, if we went to the market, things are at skyrocketing prices.
Even if I wanted to prepare for Eid, there's shortage in everything. If you want to make your child happy with food or some cookies, that's not possible. Everything is very expensive. And even if I have the ingredients to make cookies, I have no place to bake them. Cooking gas is unavailable.
The irony is that the Gaza Strip is known for its wide farmlands, especially ones growing date palms. That's where the dates needed for Eid cookies come from. Now, those farmlands have fallen victim to Israel's war. Many of those farms have been destroyed, and the ones that remain are dealing with the war's ecological fallout. The groundwater that fed those trees is now polluted with munitions and toxins. Another ingredient needed to make Eid cookies is flour, but it's very scarce at the moment. One source is from aid deliveries into the Gaza Strip, but getting aid from those deliveries can get you killed. On February 29th, at least 112 Palestinians were killed after Israeli troops opened fire on hundreds waiting for food aid, including bread flour, in the southwest of Gaza City.
Israeli forces opened fire on the crowd as they pulled flour and canned goods off trucks. After opening fire, Israeli tanks advanced and ran over many of the dead and injured bodies.
After the break.
What are you afraid from during the war? Afraid of what?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. We hear from Banyas, Maram's 8-year-old daughter.
You don't feel afraid of the bombing of the...
No.
You are courageous enough and brave?
Yes.
Yeah.
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
As Maram talked to Siham on the phone towards the end of Ramadan, Maram's daughter Banyas was listening, and she wanted to weigh in on what Eid looked like for her this year.
So here is my daughter Banyas. She is 8 years old, and she was listening to me while recording these messages for you. She was commenting that, are we having a celebration on Eid? Are we having, new clothes in Eid? And I wanted just to ask her about her feelings on that Eid is coming. Vanessa, tell us about your feeling that Eid is coming. How do you feel?
I feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll make some celebrations in Deir el-Balah. Mm-hmm. And we'll buy new clothes for us.
Mm-hmm.
To celebrate Eid, and we'll make some cake, traditional cake from dates, and we'll make a little party. go for little walks and like this, stuff like this.
Okay. Last year, how you used to celebrate Eid?
We made more things. We made more things.
Many things, like?
Many things. Wear new clothes, decorate our home, and celebrate Eid properly, and and go for big walks, and like this.
Do you think that last year is more beautiful than this year?
Yes, I'm sure.
Why? That
because last year there wasn't any war, but this year there is a war.
How do you feel about the war? Describe the war.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing.
And did you, like, do you expect that it would be this long? It would last this long?
No, I didn't. From 7 October, I didn't expect that it will be longer like that, than that.
Okay. And what happened in the war? Like, describe the situation around you.
The situation around me is not. There are displaced people, people in tents, people with bombed homes, and children without clothes.
And
children without homes, and especially babies without homes. I see them when I go to the hospital with mom, and
when she works.
When she works.
I ask you, what is your Eid wish for this year?
My Eid wish is the war ends. The war ends.
The war ends.
Yes. There is no, this is my one only wish.
The only wish you have.
Yes.
What do you want to say for the war in Eid?
Happy Eid for all of Gaza.
For all of Gaza and also to the world?
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Benias.
You're welcome.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by Sari El-Khalili and Khaled Sultan, with Amy Walters, Nagin Oliai, Ashish Malhotra, Chloe K. Lee, Miranda Lin, David Enders, Sonia Bagat, Zaina Badr, Veronica Campana, and me, Natasha Del Toro, in for Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexander Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Nate Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back.